Oh, sinners and choosers, welcome to another Choose Your Own Religion. My name is Joe. Thank you guys so much for tuning in this week. Most of you guys know, but if you're new to the show, this is the show where we talk about whatever our spiritual background was, what we grew up with, what we believe now, if anything, what's our weird cocktail of beliefs and practices and superstitions that we have. And then we make up a new religion every week. So it's all about the religion of our past, present, and future here. This week, I've got a great show with you with Aubrey Jacobowitz, comedian out here in LA, who we talked about Eastern philosophies and religions and her own Jewish Catholic background. And we got into relationships and polyamory and cool stuff like that. So I thought it was a great episode. I'm excited for you guys to listen to it. Here's a quick update on my situation. So I've realized for a long time that I haven't volunteered enough. I realized that I've wanted to volunteer somewhere for a while, but I mostly have done my own selfish shit for such a long time. Even though I know doing things for others absolutely makes you feel better about yourself, there's something about it that they're still blocking in me from wanting to fully do it. Or my brain usually rationalizes it by saying, I don't have enough time, I don't have enough money to donate. And it's funny, the two interesting things, like time and money. I don't have enough money to give this person, or I don't have enough time to give away. And that's this type of scarcity mentality that can be very dangerous. But it's interesting when you think about those two types of resources. I mean, money, I for sure know the quantifiable amount of worth I have accumulated, I have traded, bartered my way into this weird representation of what I'm able to do in society, which is stored by a bank. Don't even get me started on banks. But time is something that I have as much as a billionaire. And so I was like, I want to volunteer this weekend. A lot of stuff that was on the obvious volunteer in LA thing wasn't coming up. But there was one opportunity up at this horse kind of sanctuary. It's like a rescue therapy place called the Swan Center in Castaic, California, just past Valencia. I was like, that'd be a cool place to check out. So I drove up there. I thought I would maybe could potentially meet a cute gal doing that, or at least a church group, or at least somebody who's like doing it because they got out of jail. So maybe I'd meet somebody who's like a cool robber or something. Well, I get up there. It's just me. These two people, Ashley and Pana, Pana being a Greek guy, started off slow with just gathering hay, gathering grain, quickly graduated to cleaning up all the shit in the arena, the literal horse shit. I shoveled probably a good 30, 40 pounds of horse shit, and it felt great. Once that was over, I got to lead a couple horses into the barn. Now, I've gone horseback riding before when I was a kid, but I hadn't been interacting with horses in any meaningful way since then. And I forgot that we have had this weird thousands of years old relationship between us and horses. Might be our most important historical relationship with an animal ever. I mean, dogs are great. Don't get me wrong. Cats lovers, please do not get me wrong. Cats lovers, you can get me wrong. Dogs lovers, I love dogs. I want a dog so bad. I will get a dog. But our relationship with horses allowed us to evolve to the place where we are as a civilization. And they have such a fascinating intelligence about them for such a huge creature that there's a lot of subtleties to their behavior that you start picking up on. And the thing that Pana told me when he was training me, he's like, the most important thing with your horse is your energy. And that horse is going to teach you a lot about your own energy. And since then, I've really started thinking about that. What is my energy I'm putting out there? I can cue myself up decently for the podcast and for stand-up, but I don't do a very good job cueing up my energy level just to hang out with people. And by God, I feel bad about that. So I led some horses. I fed some horses. I didn't ride one, but man, I started learning a lot about myself. And I started really feeling like I'm trying to do things that are actually healthy. I'm actually trying to take steps in that direction, which is exactly why I turned around on the interstate to stop at a Red Lobster. Because sometimes it's more about my psychological and mental health than it is my physical health. And it was a true sailor's delight. So what did I learn this week? It's about energy. It's about energy. It's about energy. So anyway, I hope you guys like my energy right now. Hope you love your own energy. Aubrey Jacobowitz has great energy. You're going to love her. You're going to love this episode. If you like this episode, you want to hear more, go to chooseyourownreligion.com. You can find old episodes. And if you want to see pictures of the horse shit that I shoveled, you can go to the blog. I'm blogging about a lot of the stuff I ran about. So if you want some cross, if you want to see some of the media of that, you can go to the website. If you really love this show and you have iTunes, crack that sucker open and leave a nice rating or review and tell me what you think of the show. And that's it. Please give it up for Aubrey Jacobowitz.
Allow the soothing music and uplifting affirmations to center your heart and mind in an awareness of God's love.
Wake up, my dear sinners. Wake up from your deep rest. Won't you say your prayers? Know that you are blessed. I love you, oh, but Jesus loves you the best. And I hope that you choose your own religion.
So we're gonna go ahead and get started.
Yeah,
that's cool. Yeah. We were just talking about your parents. You said you come from a mixed Jewish Catholic.
Yes.
Thing. Which one is which?
My mother is a Mexican Catholic woman, so it's okay. Very passionate about Jesus and Guadalupe, we grew up not going to church that often, and then we started going often, and that was confusing for me. I never went to temple. I guess my parents made a deal when they got married that if they had daughters, they would be baptized, and then if they had sons, they would be circumcised.
Really?
So I think I got like a good deal.
Yeah, that's good. Well, a lot of Christian boys, myself included, do get circumcised. We still get snipped up.
Well, I don't know how I feel about it. How do you feel about it?
I don't know. I mean, it's what I've always had. I think aesthetically, it just looks more normal. That's just because what everybody's used to, though. So I don't know if, like, I mean, they say it's like it ruins the sensitivity compared to like uncircumcised dudes. That's what they say.
I feel like they say the opposite as well.
Really?
I feel like they say a lot of things about
I've always heard because you don't have like the protective flap. Also, I love just talking about my dick in the first
Let's go for it. Let's get into this. Yeah. I mean, basically religion is about your dick.
a lot of it comes down to
men being like, what is up with my dick?
How can I use my dick? a lot of people say it's like without that flap covering it, then like there's been nerve damage over the course of your life from like rubbing up against shit, whereas if you have the flap covering it, then the nerves underneath are protected.
Oh, okay. And then they move. I've seen a couple uncircumcised.
It's things still feel good to it, you know.
Yeah, I feel like it's fine.
It's all right.
Yeah, but at the same time, I like don't want if I had like a child who was like, I wouldn't want them to like grow up and be like, why'd you do this to me, mom? It's so archaic or it's so like.
Right, but they have the opposite reaction. It's like, why didn't you do this? Now I am the weirdo with like the uncircumcised dick compared to like everybody else.
Yeah, and then you have to get an adult circumcision, and sometimes those don't work out.
That sounds like the worst idea.
Yeah, and it also, I don't know if the cleanliness thing is a thing, is like a real thing.
Yeah, not anymore. I think it's got to be all just like tradition and whatnot at this point. I don't think there's any real health benefits to it.
Yeah, so well, whatever.
It does seem kind of barbaric too, like to do it to like an infant. It like has no choice in the matter.
Yeah, and then also I've just heard some horror stories about circumcision and like there. I mean, have you heard? Oh, this is so downer. It's so down.
Okay.
They used to burn off the skin, a long time ago before they like cut or lasered or whatever. I'm not up to date on the science. but they burned off a child's whole penis once, and then this child was a twin. This doctor decided to use this as a case study to figure out if gender was determined or and so they dressed the child up as a female for the rest of their life, and they had huge troubles with it, and they had to transition back into a man.
Oh my god!
And not only did that person kill themselves, but their twin killed themselves.
Jesus Christ.
So that's a fun little story I brought for all of you. Yeah. I wish I could remember, but if you look it up,
it's just search like, burn dick twin. Yeah. You'll probably find.
Yeah, you'll find my album first, and then you'll find, my like poetry album.
Yeah. So you grew up not more Catholic. Well, because it's the whole deal I've always heard is that Judaism passed down through the mother. So do you consider yourself Jewish then?
I mean, yeah, culturally. I mean, we definitely did Hanukkah. We did Passover and
all
that stuff.
Did you get a bat mitzvah?
I didn't. No, okay. I didn't get a bat mitzvah or a quinceañera or...
What?
Like, or a first communion or whatever.
Or a first kiss.
Or a first kiss. Yeah. I haven't seen or touched or looked at anybody.
All this dick talk is purely hypothetical.
I've seen dicks. I just mean like in my imagination.
Sure.
Like I have an idea of what they look like.
But so you didn't get any of that. That's a bummer.
I got a sweet 16, so that was like very American.
Okay. Yeah.
All American thing that I got, but I didn't really want. I mean, we started going to church heavily when I was, like, 10 and 11, and then my mom offhand said something about my dad not believing in Jesus, and I was like, wait, what? And then my dad explained, I believe Jesus was a person, I don't think he is a martyr, and then I was like, I thought about it for a while, and I was like, first of all, like, my mom can, like, start and stop going to church whenever she wants, so that means the church is not, like, the answer to, like, fulfillment or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
And second of all, like, we can have different opinions. Like, that's great. We can have different opinions, and our opinions can vary from, like, strong belief to, like, apathy or whatever. Yeah. And so, I mean, I was interested in religion, but I just thought, I mean, Catholic Church is, like... I feel like it's a shit show of like just like standing and sitting and kneeling and talking and like shaking hands and like saying stuff. And it's just like, it's just so much ritual that, and it's not ritual. That's like, it's not intention based on the now, it's intention based on the past, which is very
how it's always been.
Yeah. I like storytelling and I like tradition and I like ritual. I just don't think that telling the same stories over and over, I don't know. I think just focusing on one.
It feels stale.
It feels stale. It definitely felt that way when I was doing it. And so one day I just told my mom, like, I'm not going to do this anymore.
How old were you when that happened?
Probably 12.
Okay. So there's only like a 2-year period where you're like, you're going every week with your mom.
Hated it the whole time, of course.
Why did she make you start, or was it like you should be more involved with like kids your age and like start to meet, like she just wanted, or was it just
we didn't meet anybody, we didn't talk to anybody. There was no like community happening. Like, I'm sure there was a community there, but we weren't a part of it.
Something just snapped in her at like when you were 10. She was just like,
she had some sort of crisis or something, and she was like, my children must know the love of God. No, I think she just wanted it to be important to us, because it was important to her. Mm-hmm. But also, I don't know that my parents think about God all that much. Like, they're very passive. I feel like they're good at walking through life because they're like, oh, this is just how it is. And I'm like, why though? Why?
Totally. Yeah. And I think, I definitely think, I would bet even like most people or it's definitely a lot of people just are sort of, I don't know. It's not like it's not like I'm any better for just coming out here to pursue like a stupid narcissistic dream or anything. But you see a lot of people who like just stay in their hometowns and never question what they're doing. They kind of like, I mean, don't get me wrong, there's a lot of wisdom and maybe just like listening to like, oh, this is how to successfully lead a life. These are the paths you follow. This is what you do. You just stay in the predetermined cultural boxes and you'll be okay. You'll be taken care of.
Yeah.
But
religion is a good structure for people who need it. But it's definitely, I feel like it's used for not good things. I think it's just used as a tool. And the tool could be used for good or it could be used for evil or in between or a shade of gray. But it's just like anything else. Like, you can find your set of values and how, your goals and, yeah, your boxes that you want to set up for yourself.
Yeah. I do think there was, and I was just talking with Virginia Jones recently about this, that, like, and she used to be a Mormon, but has been atheist for a long time. But we were just talking about how, you know, I mean, one of the things too, in general, people on this podcast talk about missing is the community, although it's like, apparently you didn't have any of, any of that. But, you know, you do, what religion does offer that I think it's hard out here in LA or probably any big city where you're like, you know, doing your own individualistic thing. It's hard to, sometimes it can be hard to get a community that's like, has the same shared values, or it's all on the same page in the way that, like, hey, we're all, you know, we're all Episcopalian, or we're all, you know, Southern Baptist Unitarians, or whatever.
How do you move to a new town, into a new church, into a new community, and know that they're going to hold the same values as you? Like, you can't,
well,
right?
Well, theoretically, I'll just play devil's advocate for, you know, Christians. like, theoretically, you're like, I'm a Unitarian. I know I can go be a Unitarian somewhere else, and that we're, because we're the same national organization, that will be basically the same. Like, we'll be, that'll be the closest enough people. Obviously, some people, it doesn't always work out.
Yeah.
But I mean, theoretically, it'd be like, I mean, it'd be like doing, in a weird way, there is, you know, in stand up, even though there's lots of different scenes, we can.
Yeah, I was just thinking about, like, clubs. Like, clubs are probably all supposed to be kind of similar or the same.
Right.
But they all have, you can have a different experience in all of them.
I mean, we literally have, like, the Hollywood Improv is, like, a series of, like, the improvs. And, but even, like, yeah, club versus alt rooms, there's some differences there. But, like, you go to a comedy club on the East Coast, even, or West Coast somewhere, you all, there are some shared, like, customs to stand up.
Don't run the light.
Don't run the light. Don't be a heckler if you're in the audience.
Yeah.
You know, there's a two-drink
minimum.
Drink minimum.
Yeah. That's what I was. Yeah.
Or, you know, then there's a certain, like, yeah, there's lots of things that we, you know, when we're learning stand up, we're like, you have to, like, learn sort of why are these things in place, but then.
Yeah. But yeah, and then you have to just know them and go through. But I just think that individuals make up a community, and so it's like, it's hard to say that any community is going to be the same.
Oh, totally. And something too, that's the struggle of community, is not getting homogenous and not allowing for enough disagreement and individuality in that.
Yeah, I was gonna say, like, why does it have to be the same every time? I think that every individual community should figure their own shit out, you know, like in their own way. I think, like, one religion and or one, like, way of thinking is never gonna do it. It's never gonna fix anything. And trying to, like, all fit into one, like, well, Jesus loves us because we don't steal and this and that and this and that.
Right.
Or whatever. I don't know anything about religion. I just, like, I don't know. But I lost my train of thought a little bit.
That's okay. So wait, when you said in 12, you're like, I'm not doing church anymore.
Yeah, but I still was, like, an emotional child, and, like, I felt spiritual.
Okay.
I felt like, not necessarily God, but, like, the, like, energy. Like mysticism, because I think being Hispanic as well, like, there's some level of, like, I mean, we have when you're suspicious, not suspicious of something, when you, like,
intuition,
when you have like throwing your salt over your shoulder.
Oh,
what's it
superstitious.
Called?
Suspicious.
Oh, my God.
just very untrusting.
Drinking coffee.
Untrusting a lot of people.
But, yeah, so it's like stuff like that where it's like, Bill Nye just, like, debunked this. But it's like, when you do a thing, it creates a result.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, oh, I'm going to keep doing that thing. Like,
right.
My family, we don't pass salt, like, via our hands. Like, we have to put salt down in order for the other person to pick it up, because that's like a
wait
it's like a bad luck thing.
Like,
instead
spill
of
actual,
like,
grains of salt or the salt shaker?
No, the salt shaker.
Oh, I was picturing, like, we're emptying salt onto the table.
You get it.
Pick it
That'd
up
be
with
such
your
a
fingers
dick move.
Yeah.
No, but yeah, well, there's that and like mysticism. But then I like started getting into like Eastern philosophy and stuff. And
cool. Was that in like high school or?
Yeah.
Wow, that's pretty early.
Wait, you think so?
I think so, only because I didn't. I feel like maybe I was just not hanging. Wait, are you? You're from LA?
Yeah, I'm from Santa Clarita.
Okay, so maybe you're more on the cutting edge than we were in like North Carolina. Whereas like, I mean, I was a Christian all the way through high school.
Oh wow.
I think most people. Well, maybe you go like atheist. I feel like I did not know hardly anybody and still don't who like start if they went away from their main, you know, their growing up religion, they just stayed away altogether. They didn't like pivot until maybe later in life, like when they were like in their 20s or something. I mean, that's also what I did. So maybe I'm just biased because I'm thinking everybody's fucking like me.
Just like you. But yeah, no, my high school was a little more progressive. There were like very religious people there. But the people at my school were forward thinking in a way that like they were open-minded. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I took like an Eastern philosophy, like, class at a junior college when I was 16.
Okay.
And I was super down with it. I was super into it.
Yeah.
My thing is like I was always like an emotional child, and so I wanted to figure out how to like kind of diminish that a little bit. And with like Buddhism, basically the whole thing is like life is suffering,
right?
And attachments are suffering,
right?
So like if you lose attachment to stuff, then you will have less suffering, like theoretically.
Yeah, yeah.
So I stopped loving people and things. No, I'm just kidding. But no, I just like I stopped creating values to things that didn't have to have that. I mean, I still do, but it's like less now, and I feel like that's Buddhism is not like my main religion that I follow or whatever. I don't really have like a religion that I follow, but I do kind of use those tactics
for sure. Yeah, that's and I'm in a similar boat. I wouldn't call myself a Buddhist, but I started going to one like a Buddhist temple in Raleigh, North Carolina, which was shared a parking lot with an exterminator. Like that's how like tiny and out of the way, like they just had to find space where wherever they could, and there was just a couple dozen people that met there. But yeah, and it was definitely as somebody who I think what made me really get into it was I was I had a breakup that was like really bad and really hard on me. Real shocker to me. I was like, I don't need to get into it. We're fine now. There's nothing.
Oh, wow. But this was when in college or after?
Right after college. I was like 22.
Uh-huh.
My ex cheated on me and all that stuff. But like, it's more complicated and all funny and stuff.
Is.
But like, you know, because every individual story is. Anyway, so I was like, really, and that would have been the second breakup that was like really hard on me. And I was so hard. It's like, so hard to get out of my head with all that shit. And I was like, why is this so much harder on me than it seems like other people? Like, it seems like other people would be like, oh, just get over it. You can move on. I wasn't able to do that. So then, yeah, you start learning about, suffering, attachment. Like, there's a whole ancient tradition of people who have, like, examined their own mind and examined what's happening to it. And the idea of meditation just giving me tools to sort of start zooming out a little bit.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, when you put value to stuff, it's just so much. It's too much. You got to learn to let things go. And I think that a lot of people have trouble with that. And then, you know, if you get into religion where the rules are less vague, where it's like more, it's just like well, Jesus loves you if you do this and this and this, and like it gets a little murky because you're adding attachments, you're adding like rules and regulations and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Whereas it's like if you let things go, like you'll find that you have like an easier. I just need religious people to smoke pot once. I just need them to do this for me.
Yeah.
Once.
Just one time.
But yeah.
I mean, and something too with, especially with like meditation, is like, it's not even, for me, it wasn't as much about the rules aspect, although I do agree that that was there, but the ability to, you know, when you go through life, it's so easy to believe your own bullshit, but like also mm-hmm. like believe the movie of your life that we all write for ourselves. There's a certain narrative. There's a certain like, oh, I was this. I began this way. This is what makes me me. This is my identity. Mm-hmm. This is I'm inherently like this way. These things are inseparable from me. But then through more meditation, you start. I don't know. I started feeling more of that ability to be like, oh, thoughts are just things I have versus like absolute truths.
Right.
Right. Like the idea that somebody broke up with me because they were no longer attracted to me didn't mean I'm unattractive. It's like, right. Oh no, that person just was not attracted to me for whatever reason.
I feel like a huge example of that would be ghosting.
Yeah.
I feel like some people take ghosting really hard and some people, I mean, depending, it just depends on the situation, but like, I think that there are so many reasons why a person would stop talking to you altogether. It seems impersonal, but also, I don't know, if there's a thousand reasons, maybe it's for the best. Like, maybe that mm-hmm. person was, like, so messed up that they were like, I'm just going to take a step back, and I'm thinking of you.
Right.
I'm thinking of you. And, like, you just don't, so, like, for me, whenever something along those lines happens to me, I just am like, okay, well, either they're dead or, you know, or
they're dead to me, at least.
They're like loving me and letting me go or something. Or there's something in between. And you just kind of like look at all the options and you're like, well, I can't attach myself to any of these because you don't know.
Yeah. And I mean, I'm sure I've ghosted before. I hate ghosting, but I know at least at some point in my life I have. I feel like most people, especially in like a big city, have at some point, because it's easy. And like you said, sometimes it's like, why even bother getting into it with this stranger that I'll never see again?
Right, because I mean, we're dating so quickly now. It's just like you can find a date in the same day and then like go out with them the same day and then find out you don't like them the same day.
That's literally me yesterday. Literally me yesterday.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow. You went on like a Tinder date?
Yeah, this was OkCupid's. Okay. I was feeling because, you know, OkCupid's like when you're really looking for a committed something.
Yeah.
But they just found me. They liked me. I messaged them like, oh, I'm going to this comedy show. I wasn't on it. And I was like, you want to come with? Okay. They're like, sure. And then through, like, we got a drink beforehand. And I was like, this is not a great fit for me. So then I dropped her off at home. Didn't, like, then that was it.
Yeah. And that was it. And you didn't text her and she hasn't texted you?
No. And I think the way the drop, we were friendly. We were like, she wasn't a bad person. We got along. It was just like, there wasn't chemistry there.
Wasn't there.
And I think she probably would agree too, because she didn't like seem like she was lingering for like a kiss or anything. Right. And so I was like, okay, cool.
So if you like attach stuff to that where you're like, oh, she must feel A, B, or C way, then right. like suddenly you're going down a rabbit hole of all that shit and like just being like, oh, well, she doesn't like my teeth or my this or whatever.
Yep.
But it doesn't even matter because it's not the absolute truth. It's like the Schrodinger's cat, but for your feelings.
Schrodinger's
you're like,
feelings.
Are my feelings going to be way, way dead?
Yeah. Have you ever heard of The Four Agreements by Don Miguel Ruiz?
Yes.
Yeah, that's one of them that's definitely don't make assumptions is one of the four agreements.
Yeah,
and it's
I was
for
like,
that reason.
Should I study for this podcast? I know that I like did study Buddhism and like Hinduism and stuff like that, but I do recall the four agreements. What do you know what the other three are?
Let's see. Be impeccable with your word, always do your best, don't make assumptions, and oh god, what is the fourth one? I don't know.
Probably, I don't know.
Be cool, always.
Probably the something about attachment.
I don't know. Oh, it's going to bug the shit out of me until I find it.
Oh, man.
Oh, whatever.
We could Google it.
That's okay. But anyway, the other two are like...
I'm like, oh, I can't afford the energy.
I do. Being impeccable with your word also means like don't badmouth yourself is what in the explanation of the book.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, it also means like keep your promises when you make them. Right. So that's what can be a challenging one, especially when you're like, there is no consequence per se of me like flaking on somebody, but also I feel bad and I feel like it diminishes my own personal integrity to like not keep promises. I don't know.
Well, it's being impeccable with your word by not speaking any words. That's like, I had a great time.
Yeah. Well, I know you're joking, but like, there's also too, there was like an old, I want to say it was a, either a Zen proverb or maybe it's just Japanese and I'm associating it with Zen because I'm just conflating the two. But there's like this, somebody was like, I always keep my promises, even if it's something like as simple as like every day when I walk down this road, I'll pick up like a rock at this spot. And if I forget, I'll go back and do it, even if it's that trivial. And that teaches me not to make trivial promises, like to only make promises that I know I'm going to like for sure uphold.
Wow.
And I think that's something I've tried. I'm not, again, not fucking perfect with that, wow, but it's something I try to like. And I think that's important too. I love, one of the things I've loved about stand-up, it seems like the best stand-ups, all the ones I look up to, and I'm sure this is also not completely 100% true, but mm-hmm, like there's a lot of integrity among like excellent stand-ups.
Yes.
You know?
Yes. It's something you, I mean, you can go around in the world and technically you won't see like repercussions for like not being extra nice, but if you're like, if you go around and you have integrity, people notice that and they know you more and better, and they want you to work with them. And I think it's helpful for people. Well, I mean, especially, I mean, talent is important, but also having talent and knowing how to have integrity, I think, is just like the full package. And that's how to get.
Yeah,
how to get successful.
And, you know, I guess there's also lots of talented sociopaths out there, too, that are fucking killing it.
Oh, a bunch. But they're not being, using integrity. They're not using their words with intention. And that's, I mean, it's either going to bite them in their butt or they're going to get a mansion out of it.
Wait, so were you studying, to take it all the way back to, you're sort of studying Buddhism, mm-hmm, you said you're getting into Hinduism a little bit too?
Yeah. I mean, I got into it on my own. I was more drawn to it than Buddhism.
What about it?
I'm trying to remember at this point. I think it was, I mean, because Buddhism is not about any gods. It's like very vague specifically because you have your own interpretation. But Hinduism was mystical. It had like a lot of gods and a lot of like stories and reincarnation and stuff like that, where I like to believe my energy is going to be transferred in some way, not necessarily into another person's body, but I just think like my soul, it's not just gonna like zip and like
yeah.
I don't know what the real answer is. I just know
something for me that with, because I'm also into, you know, lightly into Hinduism, or I'm a big fan of Ram Dass, who teaches a lot of Hindu type teachings, and one thing that I haven't thought about till we were just having this conversation is, it seems like Buddhism is a dispassionate sort of approach. It's a very like logical sort of, and that's why I think a lot of science type people seem to be like atheists, like are drawn to Buddhism for that reason, because you don't have to believe in a god. It's all about like approaching mind from like, in the nature of your mind, from a very like empirical standpoint. And
yeah, it's not preachy.
No,
in one direction.
It's about practicing without believing things. It's like you can get better at it, like a skill. And Hinduism, from what I've picked up, it's more about passion. It's more about love. It's more about like infusing. Not that compassion is devoid. It's not that Buddhism is devoid of compassion, because it definitely, it's one of the like parts of the, the path. But
Hinduism has like the Atman and the Brahman, where like you can. Mm-hmm. It's like a discussion about the self and how the self relates to the world.
Yes, and like meditation and mindfulness is just one component of Hinduism, whereas like there's other, you know, paths of yoga, which are some of like devotion and like selfless service and things like that.
Exactly. Yeah. Oh, now it's all coming back to me. All my teachings. Yeah. And
yeah.
I had a therapist who was an American person, a white person, but he is an addict, recovered addict. And he was super into Hinduism. He would go to an ashram, and he gave me Ram Dass's book. And
be here now.
Yeah, and you got it right here.
Yeah.
Oh, cool. Yeah, I'm going to flip through it, and my mind will be blown. I actually did acid in the desert, like, for the first time, like, 3 weeks ago.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Acid for the first time, or?
For the first time, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, it was really fun, and it's funny that we're talking about, like, intention and just, like, keeping your word and stuff, because the day after that, I was just, like, I decided I wanted to be celibate for a month. And I was like,
cool.
I was like,
I've done that.
Yeah, just because, I mean, I've been dating for a couple months now, and my parents just let me start dating, but it's very overwhelming.
Yeah, still no dicks.
Still no dicks. Yeah, no, I wanted to set an intention for myself and keep a promise, and I feel like it's done really well for myself.
That's great. No, I've done a similar like celibacy period.
Oh yeah, like intentional?
Yeah, very intentional. I mean, obviously I've had involuntary celibacy.
I mean, before 3 weeks ago it was involuntary, but starting 3 weeks ago, I was like, I need to get my brain in order.
Was it so before that, were you in a relationship that ended? Was that what was?
Yeah. I was in a relationship for a year, and it ended amicably. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I had regular feelings about it. I feel like I had a regular response to it, and I went out and started dating people, and I just felt like it was clouding my brain. I was building attachments. That was what was bugging me, was that I was very hyper focused on like building these relationships, and I think it just turned me off completely. I was like done with it.
Yeah.
After like, I think I'd like OD'd on it, on like dating.
It can be very distracting. It can be like a form of procrastination of right. like working on stand up or whatever else. It's like, well, I mean, I've gotten better at that of like, you know, for instance, like my person I met yesterday and decided I didn't want to see anymore in the same day. I was like, I'm not going to go out of my way to change my, like, I'll invite them out to a thing I'm going to anyway.
Uh-huh.
But then I'm like, I got out of a relationship or quasi relationship 3 weeks ago. We dated for 3 months and it was like,
okay.
It was like intense, but then it wasn't, well, it doesn't matter. But, yeah.
I get you. I get what you mean.
Yeah. Even it was funny, but prior to that, I had debated going to like a Sexaholics Anonymous meeting.
Oh my God, that's so funny you say that. Why did you do that?
Because I was a fucking sexaholic, and I still feel like there's part of me that is, and I might end up going to one again soon, or I haven't been to one yet, but I might go to one sometime.
But not an addict, right? I mean, do you think you're an addict? Because if you were, it would be, I mean, I don't know. I'm not going to define it for you.
I don't know. I go back and forth. I definitely have compulsions, and my big problem, and I've talked about this on stage. I haven't talked about this on the podcast in a long time, but I used to go, there's like a year or two ago, I would go to like massage parlors a whole lot, like way too much, like an embarrassing amount. It's really embarrassing how much fucking money you just blow through on those things.
Right, and you would get the...
Yeah, just to get to jerk off. Yeah, not just to get. That'd be sadder if it. It would even like, be sadder just to get massaged.
I just want to be held by you.
It would be better and also worse. But no, it was. Yeah, and I've had. I mean, I've seen escorts before and shit like that. Just and part of that is like as a shortcut to like, you know, it's hard to like as okay, everybody has it hard in dating. First of all,
right.
I think sometimes. As a guy, it can be hard to face reject. Like I know it's like, I feel like in the dating game, women tend to be more selectors of like who they get to have sex with. Like
I would agree.
You get
suitors. I mean, just on a,
very general,
very
general. I can't emphasize how general I am.
Just like so broad. Right. But it's just kind of a, well, because I mean, there's just so much like sociopolitical, like background to that, that we just are not going to get to.
1,000% agree. But what was also, and also this is a legitimate, what kind of, the other thing that sort of got me most originally interested in it was that I felt there were a couple of instances where I had casual sex with people that I felt bad about because it wasn't as casual to them. And I felt really guilty about like hurting people's feelings. I'm like, man, I don't want to do that. Like I want sex a lot. I want that to feel that like physical connection, but I hate making people feel bad. And so there's like an honesty to any kind of like paying for sex that that seems like it's like, all right, it's clean. I'm giving you money. You know exactly why I'm giving you money. There's no, like, we don't have to pretend afterwards that there was anything there.
Oh, man, I wish I had money for an escort. That would be dope.
Well, I don't anymore, so.
You don't have any. Yep. Well, one too many massages.
Yeah.
But that's interesting that you say that, because I was thinking very recently about going to Sex and Love Anonymous, because I have like a lot of compulsions and I don't act on them. I don't necessarily act on them, but I do think about stuff a lot. Like, I'm just like constantly like, well, what would happen if I, and then like, I went through a thing last year where I was like sleeping with a couple people at the same time. Not like,
right.
You know what I mean. and I texted this guy like one too many times,
mm-hmm.
and he was like, yeah, I can't do this anymore, we have to be friends. And I was like, oh shit, I like really pushed for this, and it's like, I didn't care if you thought I was weird even. And so it's not like I'm like going around like, will you fuck me, but like to everybody, which, you know, wouldn't it be nice, I'm like but I do just like have this overwhelming feeling of needing affection and needing connection, and I associate that with sex, and intimacy with sex, and it's hard for me to like look people in the eye just in general, but I'm like really okay with having sex with people, and I think it brings people together, and it does, and it's like a way to be like, I for some reason I'm like, oh, I had sex with that person, that means we're friends now, like that means we're chill now, and like and other people don't feel that way, and I had to realize that, and I don't know, I just think that it's time to like, it's great, honestly, celibacy is so fun because I'm still dating, I'm like still going around on dates with people, and we get to like just relax about it. I think it's hard for men to I think there's a pressure for men to either want to have sex or initiate sex or try to have sex like the sooner the better, not necessarily like first date, but like just to affirm intimacy
and attraction
for sure. From women, and this is so heteronormative,
right, again, but like super generalizing, but
So all of this, all super generalizing, but I think that it's really, for some of the people that I'm dating, it's like a really relaxing thing where they like don't have to worry, the pressure's off, and they know that they're not going home with me, and so that's like a dope thing for us to like, we don't have to talk about it, we don't have to worry about it, at the end of the night, drop you off. drop you off at Sizzler and I go on my merry way. But yeah, I don't know. It's really good, but I wish I still feel like I need to hone in a little bit more.
Yeah. And I mean, you're taking me back a little bit, because I went through my intentional celibacy, like this is years ago that I went through that. But I remember a phase where it was like, yeah, it was taking the pressure off. It's interesting how much differently I was filtering when I had zero intention of having sex with somebody, like in terms of like, oh, I'm going to go 100% for personality. Like, I'm going to actually judge based on purely on values and like personality, versus like factoring really attraction into it.
Yeah.
You know, whereas, you know, when you're like interested in casual sex, you'd be like, ah, I can give a lot of leeway on some of your values and some of your personality.
I'm pretty sure this person isn't a terrible person, but you like jump the gun a little bit because it's easy to, because mom's not there to say, don't eat that ice cream or something. Like,
yeah. And I mean, my last thing, I think part of
was
it
was your mom. Oh,
okay. It was my mom. God, I love her. Can't tell you how much I love her. my last quasi, you know, relationship, it was partially ended because I was like you, in that I was like wanting more intimacy than they were willing to give, more of that closeness, and they weren't ready for a relationship with anybody. And I was like, I was kind of wanting that.
So the sex was not necessarily like intertwined with that.
I'm sure it was, but it wasn't the only thing by any stretch of the imagination.
Right.
But in general, that's more of the, arguably the love addiction side of it. But then on the other hand, sometimes I wonder too, I'm like, but I think we all need love. I don't think it's a bad thing to, right. There's a balance. There's a fine line somewhere. It's when it's, I guess it starts harming you and you start compromising. Like,
yeah, I do go down like a love rabbit hole. Right now I'm doing like a polyamorous thing.
Okay.
So yeah. that's my bag right now. That's what I'm podcasting about lately.
Cool, yeah.
But yeah, what was I going to say about that? I do find myself trying to like catch them all, you know, like I'm not, but what it is it is earnest for me because I really want to build relationships with people and learn how to have like different varying relationships with people. I don't think all of them should be the same or look the same.
Yeah.
And they should have different rules to them. It's like not all, I mean, I was in a monogamous relationship before with one person because those were the terms that we set.
Yeah.
But now I'm like doing more casual shit.
Is the polyamory, cause I've thought about poly as well. And I mean, I've experimented with open stuff for short periods of time before too.
Right.
I mean, is that any of that informed by like, is this all since your acid trip or is it all kind of predating that a little bit? Or
predating, yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah. Before I got into my relationship, I was still doing that for like a year and a half or 2 years.
Okay. Yeah.
And basically all it is like an understanding of honesty and like ethical honesty. So it's like I'm not gonna like tell you the last time I got fucked by somebody right. else or whatever. But if we're dating, but I am like gonna be mindful and I am gonna communicate and I am gonna respect you, and that's what that means. I think that there's such murkiness in casual sex or casual relationships because people define it differently.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that the one thing that runs all the way through with polyamory is that there's trust and honesty, or intended trust and honesty.
Yeah.
But you know, I'm polyamorous, but not everybody that I date is polyamorous.
So you have some polyamorous, you as a poly have some relationships with monogamous people.
Who
are monogamous with you?
Well, I have before. I did have one relationship where they were monogamous with me and then I was not. And they were fine with that because that's what I wanted. Mm-hmm. And they didn't necessarily want to sleep with anyone else, but I also would have said that's chill.
Yeah.
You weren't like, but they were like, nah, I'm for you. And I was like, cool.
Uh-huh.
So that worked out for a little bit. And that's a good type of relationship for me. But I also, I want people to do what they want to do. So, yeah. And in my last relationship, that was like a very firm, like we should be monogamous because it's not something that he could deal with and we could deal with in like an ethical and safe manner.
Yeah.
that made us both happy.
And would you say any of that's informed by this is a religion podcast, I'm not trying right. to shoehorn religion into everything, but like
no.
was that like informed at all by like, you know, hippies were into free love too, and hippies were like into Eastern philosophy too. Is that had anything to do with it or not really?
I think it does. I think it really does. I think that my need to like not build attachments, I don't know, because I am romantic. I'm a very romantic person. I have a lot of love and affection and flirting to give out. What was I gonna say? So basically I have to like delegate my affection to several varying people so that I don't like suffocate one person with all my love.
That's fascinating.
Is how I am doing it right now.
God damn it.
Cope.
That's the best argument for me that I've heard to start getting into polyamory. Cause I could see myself doing the same.
Yeah. I mean, you can allocate different, so many different people do different things for you. Like this person makes you feel like a superstar. This person makes you feel grounded. This person makes you feel, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's what I want and what I need, and I'm just trying to be a better person for myself and learn from other people. And so if you have this skill and I have this skill, let's make it work. But if you need a different skill from someone else, go for it.
Yeah,
fucking go for it.
Yeah, it's not as for me, if I can fall into codependency, so then if I fracture it out to like five different people, then I'm only slightly codependent on lots of different people.
Wow. Yeah, that's definitely what that is. But I think I haven't Maybe I was codependent in some of
my
relationships.
I'm talking for me, by the way. I'm not
No. But it hurt a little bit. So I know that it's a little close to home for me. But, like, it's, you know, I think knowing codependency is important. Like, knowing your own codependency is, I feel like people are, it's inevitable. No. Some people are really good with handling relationships and not like, fully, because my first relationship was a monogamous relationship. We were very in love, and but we were young, and so we basically like learned from each other, and we learned how to be humans like with each other.
Yeah.
So it's like all of my formative years are attached to this other human being that lives who knows where. I have no idea where this person is now. and so that was really hard for me to break free from and learn how to be fully myself. And so I think that I get worried about that, about like not being able to think for myself and do things by myself. Like I'm a huge feminist, so I don't want to be like feel like I need somebody.
Yeah.
And so I think that the way that I resolve it, that works for me so far, but you know, I've only been doing a couple years, is just like, just try to spread it out.
Yeah.
spread that.
Well, what's interesting, I was thinking about like how Buddhism sort of plays into this, is that, you know, I think Buddhism is good at, again, as we've talked about, removing attachment, removing the overt neediness, kind of helping alleviate some of that. But then Buddhism also does talk about how we are an interdependent people. And I think about that I think I don't want to throw out, even though I have had codependent tendencies, and that's why I was like, I didn't date anybody seriously for a long time. I mean, I would have casual things or quasi-casual things or date people 3-6 months at a time, but I didn't have a serious long-term relationship for a long time. And then, but I think there is, that's the fine line that we're treading, and maybe polyamory can be an interesting solution to that problem, as we've talked about, because you're diffusing some of the responsibility. But I think it's not a bad thing to, as a human, as much as me, what I want to be an individual, I want to like be my own person at all times, it's also not a bad to be a little bit interdependent with people. So like, you know, trade, we can make each other better if we like allow ourselves that vulnerability.
We are never going to be the monk sitting at the top of a mountain, just meditating for the rest of our lives. We're never going to be that.
No.
We were born in this situation, unless we are Ram Dass or his followers or whatever.
And Ram Dass had sex too.
Yeah. And Ram Dass. Yeah. Didn't he like go back to San Francisco and hang out for a while? And
yeah, he was like a bisexual. So he didn't get that much into his sexuality.
Ram Dass.
Ram Dass.
Oh, Ram Dass, you coy. but no, but yeah, what were we talking about?
Interdependency.
Yeah, I just think you can build a certain amount of attachments and then know that it is going to come with suffering. That's the thing, is like, you're never going to not build attachments. And so you just have to say, like, am I willing to take the hit? If, you know, like,
yeah,
you know, like, I don't know. It's just anything you indulge yourself in, you got to be aware, like, there could be consequences to this. Like, if I eat an ice cream cone every day, I could get diabetes
right,
or something like that. It's like, you know, so maybe an ice cream cone once a week or
sure,
whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's like the same.
The middle way.
Yeah, the middle way. And, you know, I think excess is not good, and trying to put all of your shit on one person or into one thing is not good.
Right. Well, and then also I think of this as sort of, I feel like Alan Watts has talked about this a lot, in terms of like, you're in the double bind sometimes of like, if you are so, you can be attached to the idea of non-attachment. You can be, so you can then become ego invested in like, oh, I'm not going to be attached to anything or anybody. And then that's its own form of suffering and its own form of like shoving away things that would actually help you. And I think maybe this is what I love about comedy, is that like, I think a lot of great comedians, they don't necessarily negate their own attachments, but through making jokes about it, you can create enough distance between you and your attachments that you're able to make fun of it.
Right.
But you don't have to say like, you know, I'm never, you know, when you make jokes about your wife or whatever, if you have one, right? You know, my two kids in my closet.
Yeah,
that
your
I have
two kids
right
in
now.
Your closet. Your wife's in the kitchen.
Yeah, you know, you're not getting rid of your wife and kids. You're just saying like, oh, I'm like silly. You know, this is, even though I'm like, you know what I'm saying? Do you know what I'm saying at all?
Yeah. You can't. You just can't lose all that.
But it's having fun with the attachments versus like being so obsessed that like, oh, I have an attachment.
Right.
Must kill it now.
I don't know. I mean, I don't know if this is like a comedian thing, but I know that I have a lot of anger issues. Like it was really bad when I was a kid. It's called like sensory overload. One of the results of that is getting irrationally angry.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, and I think that I find that if I find something funny, that I don't care about my anger anymore. My anger is useless to me. Mm-hmm. So it's like I could be really upset about the thing. Like I just left my mom's house in a huff, or my grandmother's house where my mom was.
In a huff. An official huff.
It was an official huff. Lit a cigarette immediately. And a huff and a puff. And then I started like riffing on the way home.
Yeah.
I was like making fun of her and like making fun of my family and roasting them a little bit, but
yeah,
like not in a like a piece of shit way, but then I found that like I was able to calm down and relax about it.
Well, you're like, and that's almost a form. I've been thinking a lot this past couple of weeks about how I almost have the opposite problem where I almost feel like I don't get angry as much as I should. I feel like I've shut off a lot of my anger to like an unnatural degree. Not that I mean, when I was like in high school and stuff, I would be like an angsty teen and all that good shit.
Mm-hmm.
And like listen to like, you know, Rage Against the Machine and Tool and Limp Bizkit and all that.
Wow.
I mean, Limp Bizkit was more middle school than high school,
okay,
just for the record.
I still know exactly who you are now.
Well, I'm also a huge Fish fan now, Grateful Dead fan.
Oh.
So like... You don't. You only have some picture.
Okay,
of it.
I do. You're right.
But like, part of that is like, I just started distrusting my own anger for somewhere around in college, I guess, is when I really started like not ever really wanting to affirm my own anger. I mean, I guess maybe sometimes in stand-up bits I would like sort of have an angry tone jokingly, but like, I think I didn't lean into it enough in that. I think sometimes like leaning into it and be like, yeah, I'm going to make fun of my mom and make fun of my parents because they're pissing me off.
Mm-hmm.
You're not disavowing your own anger, but you're like leaning into it and affirming it to a degree that you're like, okay, now I've let it out. I'm good now.
Yeah. It's like stepping outside of your body and being like, look at this asshole.
Yeah.
And just, yeah, that's what I do on stage. Is like, I do a lot of stuff where I'm like the angry, like really bitter person. And,
yeah.
But it's definitely removed. It's like definitely like, look how shitty I'm being right now.
Yeah.
And I think that like, if you can make fun of yourself about that and just be like, I know that I'm a piece of shit in this way, and like that this is a full on tantrum. I find that like, if I go to a party or I'm like at a friend's house and I just say out loud, like, I'm grumpy or like, I'm pissed.
Yeah.
Then it like, it goes away because I'm just like, people don't like to talk about their anger, what's bubbling inside.
Yeah.
But I think as soon as you bring it to light, it's like, it's fine.
But like a shared anger can be a really fun thing too. If like you actually agree with somebody's anger and stuff,
yeah,
and then it can be the most fun. Like, hell yeah, that pisses me off.
That's
like, I'm so
being
glad.
A kid was.
Yeah.
I was just like, fuck my mom. Don't fuck my mom.
Yeah.
Fuck school. Fuck the mall.
Platinum album right away. I guess we're closing down time.
Oh, okay, cool.
But I don't know if you needed to get out of here.
Oh, no,
soon.
I'm totally fine. But whenever you want.
Well, there's the gimmick. Did I tell you the gimmick of the show, probably, about making up a religion?
About making up a religion?
No, I got like a bullet point.
Okay.
Shit.
Go for it. Yeah.
You're like, you seem scared.
I don't
scared.
Know. I'm just trying to, do good by your podcast.
Oh, you're doing great. So this is just, this is a very silly, serious thing. Since you don't have a religion, I'm going to help. Make one. For,
yeah, that's great.
And
I did listen to your podcast a little bit. Like I was listening to a couple. Like the, I did. I listened to Madrano's.
Oh yeah, she's great.
Yeah, she's awesome.
It is weird that. Well, thank you for listening to my podcast. But like, it's weird. Like when people have, and I there becomes like an asymmetrical level of information, you
know?
It's not that this is weird, but like sometimes it's a strange phenomenon.
Where they're like,
I'm like, what did I say? It's more of like, what did I say? I already reveal about myself?
Oh yeah. Sometimes I'll do a podcast and then I'll listen to it being like, oh my God, this is what people know about me now.
I know. I had to stop listening back to, I listened to like, when I first started doing this, I would listen back to them and then I just was like, it's a lot of time to like listen back to like an hour of my own shit a week. But
it's too much
It's too much. Anyway, we're gonna make up religion.
Cool.
In this religion, what do you want your God structure to be like? Do you want a monotheistic God? Do you want a polytheistic? Do you want it like no God at all, like in Buddhism?
I think I like polytheistic because it kind of personalizes things. And then also the more gods you have, the more like shit goes down.
Okay. Yeah.
And,
yeah.
And it's good to have like multiple examples of what a god could be.
Like forces of nature.
Like the Greek gods were all a shit show. Like they all were just as bad as humans and worse because they had powers and stuff. And I like that. So mono or poly.
Poly, right.
All poly all the time.
So much poly. What would you want your religion? What would you like want an overarching like main message to be? Like ethos, philosophy?
Probably something like chill out, help each other.
Cool. Yeah.
Chill out, help each other.
I mean, you can't go wrong with chilling out and helping each other.
Just chill the fuck out.
Chill the fuck out.
Everybody, terrorists, chill out.
Terrorists.
What are you doing, terrorists? Cops, just calm down. Put it down. Okay, this got political. I'm sorry.
You're too angry, terrorist. Too much anger.
Like, well, just like eat a fucking like tamale or something. Like eat something good for you.
Learn how to play punk rock and make an album instead of killing people.
Yeah.
So in this polytheistic religion where we're chilling out and helping each other, what kind of like rules or do we have sins? Do we have like things we can or can't do?
Sins would be adding me to group chats.
Fucking man.
Click my teeth. Don't even come near my teeth.
That is the worst when you go in to kiss somebody and you like click their teeth. That is like an awful feeling.
Yeah.
Nobody's at fault, but you're like, ugh.
Don't make out bad.
Only good making out.
I've been making out a lot. So I'm like, just don't do it bad. It's on my mind. Mm-hmm. Don't get mad at me when I ask for decaf.
Boom.
Those are the
rules. Did you not drink caffeine?
Yeah, no.
Oh, me either. I just stopped like a month ago.
Yeah. And yet still, I feel like weirdly amped when I just, it's like a weird placebo effect.
Sure, yeah. With like getting decaf tea or something.
With my decaf, coffee and stuff. But yeah, that's another thing to like, just like do for yourself. Caffeine really fucks you up. What else? Any more rules?
That can be good.
I think that's good.
That's the main ones. Yeah. Wait, so that was no bad making out. What was the other?
Don't be mean to me when I ask for decaf coffee. Right.
And then
I'm looking at you, blue bottle. I don't know if I've ever been inside of a blue bottle.
I haven't either. I hear it's great, but I haven't been. And I can't even remember our first rule.
I heard my first rule.
I'm sure it'll be back.
What was my first rule? I forget also.
Whatever.
You'll listen back to it.
I'll listen back to this episode just for that.
Just for that. nothing else. You're not going to post it or anything.
No. Sorry. This is all for me, baby.
This is all just it's hot yoga is what it is. it's a hot room.
Mm-hmm. What kind do you have any holy texts in your religion? And that can be anything from a book to a magazine to a blog to a
Peter Sellers' autobiography. I'm just naming books in my house
that you like.
That I like. What would a good text be? There was this one blog that I can't find anymore about a guy just like complaining about his wife, but his wife was like a crazy person. He was like an Englishman and she was a German woman.
Mm-hmm.
And she had like 28 plants at the top of the stairs and she would like run around naked on the beach and stuff. And he's like, why is my wife doing all this? I love her. I love her so much. I can't. And that's what the holy text would be. I actually was reading that in my philosophy 102 class.
Oh, okay.
And so she would be talking about like that you mentioned earlier.
Agreements.
Yeah. And I would be giggling about this like Englishman losing his fucking shit over his wild and dope wife.
So that's the holy. And
that's
almost
the holy text.
It's almost better that it's been lost.
It's lost. Yeah, it's a lost text.
It's more mystical.
So yeah. So yeah. I'll just whisper it to. to someone, and then we can telephone it all around.
Perfect. Is there any, whether it's a weekly, monthly, yearly gathering of people in this religion? People get together?
Yeah, I think once a year is enough.
Once a year?
Once a year is plenty. I don't want to see your face.
Get the fuck out of my face.
Once a week? No. We'll just like be mindful. It'll be a big party.
Big party with no caffeine.
No caffeine.
Excellent making out. And what's the, God, what was the other, what was the first rule?
What was the first thing that I said? I don't remember.
I don't know. It'll be there though. Whatever the opposite of that is.
I don't attach to my own thoughts.
Yeah.
So,
we're so present right now.
Yeah. We're so present that we cannot remember the past at all.
When are the yearly gatherings happening and where?
Probably, I don't know, definitely somewhere that's attached to, like, a strong energy force.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, somewhere like Joshua Tree.
Okay.
But not Joshua Tree, because that, I feel, is, like, pretty cliche and basic. So, somewhere probably, like...
a garden.
some deserty, garden-y, fucking tree-filled place. Because, of course. I mean, look at me. Don't look at me. that's the other rule. Don't look at me.
Don't look at me.
Look at me. Don't look at me. That's the other slogan. That's a slogan for the gods. Mm-hmm. The gods are like, look at me. Don't look at me.
okay. So is there going to be music at this thing?
I would say just bring your own vibes.
Okay.
Bring your vibes. And we'll see how that all mixes together.
So we don't have a set plan for this thing. It's just bringing your own vibes and then whatever happens, happens.
Yeah, I'm low on B12, so okay. I don't like to... I'm too tired to plan things. so there's just like a date and a time. And mm-hmm. then from there, you can Pinterest it up and like figure out what you want.
Okay.
Out of this experience, you can like glamp or whatever.
Glamping is it's a word I've started to learn this past couple months.
Oh, really? Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I like the
idea.
What
does it stand for?
It's glam camping.
Glam camping. You're right.
Yeah. So it's like you have like all of Sky Mall stuff.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. But it's, you know, it's fancy.
So you can do that. You can do just like a regular old tent mm-hmm. or sleep under the stars.
Are there like youth group type stuff, or the kids involved in this, or
I would say there's like a separate thing for kids so that we don't have to deal with them during the event.
Hire some people to deal with the kids.
Hire some people to be like, hey, whatever you're thinking is cool, whatever makes you horny is cool, unless it's uncool. by which politically I mean consent is key.
But
yeah, just like whatever, just like giving them books, giving them music, mm-hmm. giving them shit.
It's a day of that.
Yeah, giving them shit is the main thing. It's like
roasting
them. Fucking with them. Yeah, being like, see, this is gonna build character.
Okay, tight.
And then.
Okay. Is there any volunteering or service mission work as part of this?
Right. Yeah. Definitely a lot, but I'll let the like more organized volunteers handle what that means. Because I trust organized people to do everything for me.
Mm-hmm.
That's so sad. We all have organized friends that are all so tired from the rest of us.
But they're so good at it.
They're so good. And, you know, they do enjoy it.
They seem like they like
it. They seem like they like it. So, you know, why deny them that?
Is there any outreach or marketing or evangelism for this?
Yeah, hit me up. That's pretty much it. Just hit me up.
Tight.
And I might not answer because I'm not very good at texting. I'm busy.
Is there any afterlife?
I would say your energy is just transferred
to a bank account.
To a bank account under my name, A U B R E Y. I don't know. I guess, yeah, kind of, but in more of like a mind way. Like, it's all in your mind. So it's like, it's not like a, there's a heaven, but it's all just like, this feels cool for the rest of your life, or for the rest of your death.
Okay. And finally, what are we calling this?
Oh God.
I know. It's terrible.
I don't know. Like, I guess so.
I guess so.
Or the full thing. I don't know. Like, I guess so. That's
what I don't know. Like, I guess so. Every year in a garden somewhere, a deserty garden somewhere.
I think I
love it. Yeah.
Right? It makes sense. I don't know. Like, I'm fucking devout. So, right? How do you feel about religion? I don't know. Like, I guess so.
That should be the name of this podcast. Well, you did it.
Yeah. Done. Oh, man. I feel so good about this.
Good. You should.
Yeah. My religion looks like a shit show, but I think it's a good.
Well, what one doesn't?
One. Yeah, you're right. You're right.
Hey. Man. Where would you like people to find you on the internet and shit?
I have a website. It's aubreyjacobowitz.com. And then I have a Twitter that's kind of hopping. It's Femist, FEMMIST. And that's pretty much it for now. I don't know when you're posting this.
Well, in like 2 weeks or so.
Okay. Well, you guys are going to miss a dope show called Gentrification in Highland Park that I'm going to be doing on the 30th. But you should go next month. And then from there, I don't know. I might be touring soon. So keep up with me. I'm going to try to code my new dates into my website.
Sick.
Yeah. Cool.
Cool.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you.
This is the best.
This is great.
I had a good time.
Good.
Fuck yeah. Did
I. And that's the show. Once again, thank you so much to Aubrey for coming out. Follow her on Twitter. Be her friend. Be her pal. ChooseYourOwnReligion.com if you like this show and you want to hear more old ones. Thank you so much for listening. Jamaste. I love you.
What's a Creative Podcast Network?